Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
So we're joined by Pastor Billy Logan this morning. He's going to bring the word for us as we continue in our teaching series, Encounter of the Cross. So, Pastor Billy, could I pray over you before we get started this morning? Or as we continue? We've already been started. Lord, we give you thanks today, again, for this chance to be together. So, Father, I pray that you would anoint Pastor Billy with your heart and your mind today. Give him the words to speak and give us ears, eyes, and hearts to receive the word from you, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Greetings. Greetings from Harrisonburg. Glad to be with you. Welcome back to part three. There are notes there in the YouVersion Bible app in the events section, as typical. But welcome back to part three of Encounter the Cross. The series we've been in as we've been journeying to the cross, to Easter Sunday. The first week, if you missed it, we kind of looked at this overarching picture of the cross, the shadow that the cross has cast throughout history, throughout time, over 2,000 years. And this symbol still stands monumentous throughout time, throughout wars and ages and kings and rulers, and this one symbol has stood the test of time. And then last week we looked at specifically the two crosses that were on the left and right of Jesus, the two criminals that hung there and their responses to Jesus on the cross, their interactions, and the question was asked, what side of the cross do you find yourself on? But the one word in this series, encounter the cross, is specific, right? Because we're not just saying, hey, have you heard about the cross? Do you know something about the cross? It's an invitation to encounter. That word encounter means to experience, to confront. So the invitation to us this season is to experience the cross, to allow the cross to confront us in our lives right where we're at. And we're going to talk about resurrection next week, but just for a few moments, I want to talk about the road to the cross. Back up a little bit from where we were last week as we begin the final climactic week on what we call Palm Sunday today. And Jesus surprises us. Jesus surprises us, considering what we've already heard about this day, and we're going to review a little bit of that, but Jesus surprises us. Consider the triumphal entry, what we call Palm Sunday today, when Jesus rides into Jerusalem. The people thought they were welcoming a mighty warrior king. Instead, they were ushering the suffering Savior to death on a cross. This king ruled from a cross. Our king, the unthinkable, the unimaginable, the unforgettable. But we aren't quite there yet. And so I want to set up the text today. We're going to be in Matthew 21, the text where Jesus comes to Jerusalem on the donkey as king. But I want to look a few passages back before that. I want to rewind a little bit because I believe that God's word is orchestrated. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so texts aren't in a certain place on accident. But I believe if we look deep beneath the surface, we can often see things that are easy to miss at first reading, at first glance. And so if you go back just a few verses, just about 14 verses to Matthew 20, verse 20. Matthew 20, verse 20, you see this interaction with Jesus and two of his closest followers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and their moms with them. And they come to Jesus, and Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem. Jesus knows what's walked before him. These guys have been journeying with him for about 3 years now. They've been close with him. They've been his students. I mean, they're eating, sleeping, drinking with this guy. They're hearing his teaching. They're hearing him talk about what his teaching means. And they come to him, and their mother says, hey, we got a request. And Jesus says, what is it you want? What do you want? And she says, grant it that my boys, right? This is good old mom, right? And she says, grant that my boys sit at your left and your right in your kingdom. And Jesus looks at the boys, and he says, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? And they say, yeah, we can drink the cup. We got this, Jesus. We've been with you. We've got this. And Jesus says, in fact, you're going to drink the cup, but to sit at my left and right do not belong to me. That belongs to the Father in heaven. And so the rest of the disciples, they get upset. How dare they? And Jesus says, listen, the lords and the kings of the earth and the rulers of this world, they lord their power against those whom they serve, but the greatest among you will be your servant. And so Jesus here, moments before he's going to go to Jerusalem as king, Jesus flips the script on his closest friends that this kingdom that he is establishing is vastly different to the kingdoms of this world because they still don't see it. You see, they've been with him this whole time, but they still don't see it. Their physical eyes are working just fine. They've seen his miracles. They've been with him. They've seen what he's done, but they still, they're spiritually, visually impaired. They don't see that Jesus has been trying to teach them that victory comes through suffering and sacrifice, not strength and striving. And Jesus will exemplify this on the road to the cross and ultimately on the cross. But look at the story that follows immediately after that. The story right before we get to where we're going to be in Matthew 21 this morning. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. This is Matthew 20, verse 29. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Two more men asked Jesus for a favor. Two more men. And right, the crowd tells them, hey, be quiet, be quiet. Don't bother Jesus. He's not got time. And Jesus says, he calls to the men and he says the exact same thing. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want? Same question he just asked the two disciples. What do you want? And they say, Lord, we want to see. And Jesus has compassion and he heals their physical blindness. Juxtapose those two stories. You have two disciples whose eyes work fine, but somehow their heart cannot see what Jesus is trying to do. And you have two blind men whose physical eyes do not work, but they see Jesus for who he is. They can actually see. You say, so what does that have to do with Palm Sunday? I'm glad you asked. That's a wonderful question this morning. Matthew 21, we're going to read the first 11 verses. We've already touched on it, but here it is. They're going to be on the screen. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. And a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road. Guys, this is alluding to an Old Testament scene of 2 Kings chapter 9 where King Jehu is crowned king of Israel. And it says that the people spread their cloaks on the bare steps for King Jehu to come across. Wiseman, a commentator, he says, the spreading out of the garments for King Jehu, the act of spreading out the garments was one of recognition and loyalty and promise of support, which is really ironic for what's about to take place in the life of Jesus during this week. And so they spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches, right, from the trees, and they spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna! And Beth's already defined that for us this morning. Hosanna, save now! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Another allusion to Psalm 118. They're seeing what's happening. Hosanna in the highest heavens, they declare. It's like the people get it, but they don't get it. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, verse 10, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? As they questioned, who is this? And we looked at throughout the history of Scripture. Adam would tell you, it is the seed of the woman that shall bruise the serpent's head. Ask Abraham, and he will tell you, it is Melchizedek, king of Salem, king of peace. Jacob would tell you, he is Shiloh of the tribe of Judah. Isaiah will tell you, Emmanuel, wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jeremiah would tell you, the branch of David, the Lord our righteousness. Daniel will tell you, he is the Messiah. Hosea will tell you he is the Lord God of hosts. The Lord is his memorial. John the Baptist will tell you he is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The great Jehovah God himself has proclaimed from his throne, "This is my beloved Son." And we, his disciples, declare, "This is Jesus, the Messiah, the Prince of Life, the Redeemer of the world." And yes, even the prince of the powers of darkness acknowledge him, saying, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Verse 11, the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Now, we've already alluded to in the video and from what Beth has shared, in verse 5, we're getting a fulfillment from the prophet Zechariah. The prophet Zechariah said this back years, centuries before, Zechariah 9:9. He said, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly." That word lowly there means humble and weak and afflicted. "Your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, we don't expect that sequence of words to describe a king. Righteous, victorious, lowly. I mean, we might expect the first two, right? Righteous, victorious, weak and afflicted. We don't expect that when we're talking about a king. But this plainly shows the fulfillment of this prophecy in Christ Jesus, plainly shows the character given of the Messiah, that he should ride on a donkey. He was acting in direct opposition to the pride of their warlike kings. Here is Jesus fulfilling prophecy to set an example of humility and to show that his kingdom was not of this world. Therefore, for those with eyes to see this morning, Jesus was not only proclaiming his messiahship and his fulfillment of Scripture, but showing the kind of peace-loving approach he was now making to the city, even though he knew what sat before him. So what we thought could save us, what they thought could save them, earthly power, political revolution, couldn't. It's the mistake that just about everyone who encountered Jesus on earth made. And that is very pointedly demonstrated in the triumphal entry that we're talking about today. Yes, the people worshiped and they heralded him, but they didn't know just how he would come to rule. Not with a golden crown of power, but from a Gentile cross of punishment. One writer said it this way, and it's on the screen. The tragedy of this event was the fickleness of the people. At this point, they're acclaiming the Lord Jesus as the long-expected Messiah. Within a few days, they were crying out for his death. So, what are you getting at, Pastor? What if I told you today that most of us have been reading the story perhaps the wrong way? Maybe we've been seeing this story with an impaired perspective. What if I told you we become so accustomed to what we understand as Palm Sunday on our way to the cross, and ultimately Easter Sunday, we're going there, that we've missed something important today? Perhaps something new that God wants you and I to see. And some of y'all are like, "No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Just let me wave my palm branch." Some of you are like, "Great, he's about to mess up one of my favorite stories and memories from Sunday school as a child." And then some of y'all are genuinely like, "Okay, where's he going with this? I'm leaning in. I want to see something different here." And you see, Resurrection Sunday, next Sunday, Easter Sunday, is the highlight of the church season for those who have put their faith in Jesus. But there's this awkward pre-party on Palm Sunday, as one author wrote it. We get excited and we sing Hosanna. And we often wave the palm branches as we've done this morning. And perhaps if you're like me, you remember, maybe if you grew up in the church, maybe not, but parading through the auditorium as a child, right? Waving your palm branch, "Hosanna, Hosanna." Or maybe you were shy and, "Yay, Jesus," right? Maybe some of you all remember that as a child. You paraded. We would parade up and down the aisles of the small little church I grew up in. "Hosanna." But as I said, I think we're missing something important about this story in the midst of this pre-Easter celebration. I think our perspective about Palm Sunday might be wrong. You see, the story of Palm Sunday as it sits at the beginning of what we call Passion Week, that's what this week we call in the Christian faith, it's really, I believe, about spiritual blindness. Can you see today What's your perspective on this story when it comes to Jesus? Listen to me. Perspective cannot change the truth, but the truth can change your perspective today. Perhaps the eyes of your heart need to be opened today. A new way of seeing the story. Yes, this story, but also your story. You see, the whole Palm Sunday celebratory welcome was and still can be a glaring misunderstanding of what Jesus really came to do. Now, I acknowledge this morning, before you throw stones, I acknowledge they didn't completely get it wrong. I mean, the people are partially interpreting the fulfillment of prophecy correctly, partially. However, their perspective was one of seeing only with what their physical eyes could see rather than their spiritual eyes. The crowd was spiritually blind on that first Palm Sunday. So my question is, do you see Jesus clearly today? The crowd, as well as his disciples, you could see it in the interpretation from the Chosen, they believed Jesus would be their militant hero, leading a rebellion against Roman rule and oppression of Israel and restoring Israel to her glory and power. At least that is what they want. That's how they desire things to be made new. That's their heart's desire. That's the way they see Jesus. So in the midst, hang with me. In the midst of all of the joyous celebration as Jesus enters the city, we often miss what is really going on with Jesus. The Word of God tells us in Luke's account. You see, this story of Jesus entering into Jerusalem, what we call the triumphal entry now, Palm Sunday, the beginning of Passion Week, this story is in all four of the Gospels. And there's only a dozen or so accounts that all four of the Gospels record together. And this is one of them, so it's very important for us today. If it's in all four of them, we probably should pay attention. We should pay attention to all of it. But if it's on all four, we should lean in. And so Luke records this account. And the Word of God tells us in Luke's account that as Jesus approaches Jerusalem, he weeps. It's in stark contrast to the shouts of praise and the joy from the people as he enters, which he's for, because he knows who he is. But think of that. Holy weeping versus hallow worship. Jesus mourns because their spiritual blindness, their misunderstanding of who he is. He sees what is unseen, and the people can only see that which is temporary. Only that which would curb their desire. Here it is in Luke 19, verse 41. It says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. As he approached Jerusalem and he saw the city, Jesus weeps over the city. Guys, that's not just a teardrop in the eye. I was moved by that last verse. No, this is weeping. And it says, Jesus said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They'll not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Jesus weeps because their hearts are turned inward. Jesus weeps because they do not truly know him or why he has come. He weeps over what sin has done to the hearts of his people. He weeps because God's peace, his shalom, is not found in fighting for our rights, but in laying the rights to our life down. He weeps because they do not recognize God in him. He is God in the flesh, who has entered into the humanity in which he created so that we might know him and be known by him. And this is radically new, and they missed it. The countercultural characteristics of God's kingdom have been established by a relational God who desires to be known by you and I. Paul Wallace, he said this. He said, he came in peace to give the people peace. They preferred salvation from taxation to salvation of their souls. And so in a few days, they would prefer Barabbas to be freed instead of Jesus. Jesus could see that this was their mindset. And so in the midst of this praise, with people waving the palm branches like a national flag, Jesus wept. Those who did not know Jesus wanted to know who he was and what all the commotion was about. Because the people, they ached for a Messiah to come and be king over them. They desperately wanted God to show himself through a Savior who would overthrow the Romans and return Israel to her former days of glory. They wanted God to show up on their terms, in their ways, for their purpose. So what about you? Are you looking to Jesus today to help you overthrow your earthly enemies so all of your plans might prosper? Or do you see Jesus today as your homeboy who just wants the best for you no matter what it is you want? How are the eyes of your heart today? Do you really today desire for Jesus to be the king of your whole life? Or is that more of a romantic ideal that you hold than an intimate relationship you have? As the worship team prepares to come back, are you perhaps still relating to Jesus today like those during that first Palm Sunday and Passion Week? Perhaps welcoming him gladly with beliefs of what he'll give you for your own benefit, only to stiff arm him, only to doubt him when your plans don't play out as you hoped that they would. I've been there. But God, I've been living for you. Surely this is going to work out the way that I hope. And then things take a turn and we come to this place and I come to this place and we're, God, where are you? Why did you bring me here? Why have you left me here? Can I really trust you? You see, the king of this new kingdom is unlike the kings of the kingdoms of this world. He does not seek his own benefit. He is abundantly merciful. He opens blind eyes. He touches those who are deemed unclean. He forgives sin. He's the only one that can give you new life and purpose. He is healer, defender, comforter, redeemer, savior, Lord, our lover who claims all of our love's affection. Jesus is simply the way God has saved, rebirthed, and transforms us. Listen, Jesus is not the king the people wanted, but he is much more than they ever could have imagined. It's clear from the triumphal entry to the cross that everything is different now. And if you've missed it, the bottom line is this morning. It's on the screen. What we think will save us can't, and what we never imagined could, will. What we think will save us cannot. What we never imagined could, will. Have you encountered the cross in your life? You see, many have been arrested, they've been beaten, and they've been slain for their faith throughout history. But only Jesus experienced being made sin and a curse for all of mankind. He was forsaken by his Father so you and I would never have to be forsaken. Where have you heard a story about the hero dying for the villains? You see, friends, the good news, even in the midst of spiritual blindness, confusion, the good news is more marvelous than you and I can fathom today. Palm Sunday declares with power that God keeps his promises and he is exactly who he says he is. Listen, this story is my testimony. The story of the disciples who they think they can see, but they really aren't seeing clearly. I grew up in church and thought I had all the pieces in place. Well, I don't sin as bad as that person. And I go to church and I'm in Bible study. And, I got my ducks in a row. I got some scripture memorized. And, I give. I don't have no money because I'm not working. I'm in college, but I give. And right. And then Jesus appeared and he said, Billy, like, I want all that you are. I want your whole heart. I want your whole life. And so my testimony is today, once I was blind, but now I see. In the triumphal entry, we see our great King not taking the world by might, but by mercy. This lowly King on a donkey, as promised, God keeps his promises. He came to carry the cross that would change everything, to make everything new, especially you. Would you stand with me this morning? Would you just close your eyes, remove distractions? I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God's word this morning. To respond to what God's Spirit might be speaking to you, might be revealing to you. And listen, perhaps some of you are hearing this message today and you would say, I don't even think I'm in right relationship with God. Maybe for some of you, you've been on a journey, you're trying to figure this Jesus stuff out, and you realize this morning that you want to make it personal. You not only want to change in perspective, you want new life. You want to experience forgiveness and God's transforming love. And then maybe there's another group of you in the room today listening to this, and you've been a part of church for a while, maybe your whole life. But to you, this Easter story and all the events surrounding this week have been just that, nice stories. And so I ask you to consider this morning, is there a point in your life that you can point back on and say, that you made faith in Jesus personal? You can do that today. You can have new life today, a new perspective today. And then maybe today, some of you have been on journey with Jesus for a while, and the Spirit has touched on something in your life. And you realize you've not been seeing Jesus clearly, seeing his purpose clearly, his calling clearly on your life. And you need to pray for him to open your eyes, a new perspective today. Listen, as we sing this final song, make the words of this song your prayer. Pastor Terry will be in the back if you need prayer. Pastor Jared will be over here, or he may move to the back. I don't know where, and I'll be over here as well. But let's respond to what God is inviting us to today. Father, we pray that you would open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Open the eyes of our heart that we may see you clearly and worship you wholeheartedly today. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.